So good to see everyone this morning. Welcome. We're glad that you're with us, especially those who are visiting here today. We're really happy to have you here this morning. And we are going to be turning now to the Word of God and studying from the Scriptures. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 8 through 9 as we think about the question, is morality enough? In 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 9, the Apostle Paul wrote these words to Timothy. He said, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Have you ever heard the expression, quote, "all religions are the same," end quote? Maybe someone has said that to you before. I know that I've heard that many times myself. When people say something like that, generally what they are thinking of is, well, all religions teach the same thing, right? They teach you not to kill anybody else, not to steal, not to lie, not to do bad things, but to do good things. And they all just teach the same thing, don't they? Well, the fact of the matter is that simply is not true. Many use that expression to justify themselves in not seeking God with a whole heart. The reason that all religions are not the same is because they all teach different things. And it's not our purpose here this morning to examine what all religions teach differently. That's not what we're going to do. But we are going to think about this question, is morality enough? Because underlying that statement, all religions are the same, is this notion that morality is enough. As long as we are being moral people, good people, then God is going to save all of those people who are moral and good. That's the sort of implication of that statement, all religions are the same. As long as you're just a good moral person, then God will save you. Is that true? Is morality enough? Consider Paul's words to Timothy here in 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 and 9. First of all, he tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That is, we have something to stand up for, and what we're standing up for is Jesus Christ. And why is that important? Because Jesus suffered. He gave himself on the cross. We memorialize his death, burial, and resurrection just a few moments ago in the Lord's Supper. And that was something very special and unique that no one else in the history of mankind has done like Jesus did it. Because he was innocent, he was pure, he was without sin. And so his death on the cross was a real travesty of justice. But you see, God used his death to do something special. He used his death to elevate him to a place of kingship, like we've been talking about on our first Sundays. Christ is king. And as king, then, Jesus says to everyone who's caught up in sin, if you want to restore your relationship with God, I will do that for you. Jesus says, come to me, hear my words and believe them and obey them, and you will be in a right relationship with God. But you see, that is not a moral proposition. That is, the idea that we have to go to Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation, That's not morality per se. That's a teaching of doctrine. And unless we subscribe to that teaching of doctrine, we won't be saved, regardless of how moral a life we may live. And so what Paul is telling Timothy here is, look, there's something more than just living a moral life. Now, Paul gives us three things that we're going to talk about here in verse number 9. He says, we've been called with a holy calling, that this holy calling is not according to our works. And then finally, it is according to God's own purposes and grace. Now, if morality alone is not enough, then we are going to have to think about what is enough in order for us to have and sustain a right relationship with God. So let's talk about that this morning. First of all, we are called to a holy calling. Now, what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that, first of all, yes, we must live moral lives. No one is disputing that. It's whether or not that alone is sufficient. And Paul is saying, no, it's not. It's not just about living a moral life. But we must live a moral life. We are called to a holy calling, and teaching morality is a good and necessary thing. We were studying in our Bible class this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, which talked about the immorality of a member of a church. And Paul said, when you have a church member who is living in open sin, who's openly committing immorality, you've got to take action. You've got to do something about that. Why? Because we've got to live moral lives. Morality is how we treat one another with fairness and respect. And God, through Jesus Christ, has called us to a very high standard of morality. Now, Jesus seeks to deal with the issue of morality from the source. That is, from within the heart of each one of us. He says in Mark 7, 21 through 23, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye or envy, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. And so Jesus is seeking to deal with the root issue, the heart of every single person, by converting that heart and changing that heart so it will be a heart that seeks Him wholly and fully. And when our heart seeks God completely, we're going to do away with all of these immoralities that are in our lives. Think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verses 9 through 11. He was talking about morality here when he said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so the intent of Christianity is for people to repent of immorality and return to God, return to a life of morality. Yes, we must live lives of morality. But the morality of the Bible is not taught in all the religions of the world. You know, some people get that idea that all religions teach the same morality, but it's simply not true. Buddhism and Hinduism do not teach the morality of the Bible, but rather they teach the morality of karma, which is If you do something evil, then you've got to do something good to make up for something evil. That's a system of merit, where your wicked sin is canceled out by your good deed. That's not Bible teaching. And so what does that mean? Well, I can do as much wickedness as I want, as long as I do enough good to make up for it. Now, who's going to do that? A lot of people. A lot of people. Billions of people do that, in fact. That's not the Bible's morality, but that is the morality of many. Islam teaches the morality of Muhammad. And we won't go into all of that, because that's a tremendous amount of evil things that Muhammad himself did. There are those, even in under the broad umbrella of Christianity today, who are teaching there's nothing wrong with living a homosexual lifestyle. But the Bible says that's immoral and sinful. Are they teaching the same morality? No, they're not. How many religions teach love your enemies, pray for those who use you? Not very many, just Christianity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 43 and 44, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Even Judaism teaches in that day, was teaching, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now that's morality. But it's only taught in Christianity. Not all religions teach the same morality. Why is morality important? It's important because we need to be more like God and Christ within our lives. Mankind is lost in sin. And Christ brings us back to the appropriate standard of righteousness. And only Jesus does that. No one else brings us back to the standard of righteousness that Jesus Christ does. It's the highest standard of morality that there is in all religions of the world. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice for God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Yes, Christ and God set the example, and we are to follow that example, to imitate God. It's a high calling. It's a holy calling. But that's what God has called us to, a holy calling. And so we are to be lights in the world. Think about that. Matthew 5 and verse 16, we're moral so that we can show other people what it means to be like God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're called to a high standard of morality because the world has such a low standard of morality. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17 says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. God wants us to demonstrate the difference between his people and the way the world lives. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 3 through 4, Peter talked about this. He said, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them to the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. If a Christian is just living like the world lives, he is not drawing a distinction between what is right and what is wrong. Peter says, we must draw that distinction. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And so we have been called with a holy calling. That means we must live lives of morality. But morality is not enough. It's not enough. We've got to have something more than just that. What does Paul say here, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9? Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Now the problem is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as a result of that, we've all merited condemnation by virtue of our sins. And so how is it that living a moral life is then going to provide for our salvation? It cannot, you see, because there is no karma. The idea of karma is not true. That is a Eastern religious philosophy that doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. One sin, and one sin alone, is all that it takes for a person to be condemned eternally. And so how are we going to be saved? Well, it cannot be according to our works. Jesus said this, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5 and verse 20. In Romans 10 and verse 3, he says about the same people, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." So if we try to just prop ourselves up with our own morality and say, "Oh yeah, I've committed sin, but you know what? I'm just going to rest on my own righteousness," God's not going to accept that. And why not? Because all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah tells us. God's not going to accept our pitiful efforts to try to clean up this giant mess that we've made with our sins. Someone else had to do that. And that someone was Jesus Christ. Romans 3 and verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And Matthew 19 and verse 17, Jesus said, "No one is good but one, that is God." When it all boils down, we've got to face God with our own sins. And God is going to say to us, if we're standing on our own morality alone, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Sometimes people make this argument, "Well, there's so many good people out there, and he's a good person, and she's a good person." And you know, generally speaking, from what you can see from the outside, there's a lot of people like that. But what about the heart? You see, the heart is sinful and desperately wicked, Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Only God knows the heart. And God has told us there's only one way to be saved from that sinful, wicked heart, and that's through Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you see the contrast there? When we sin, we separate ourselves from God. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2 tells us that. God's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And so all fall under condemnation because of that. You cannot do enough good to make up for the evil that you have done. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth and lived a perfect life and gave his life as sacrifice on the cross so that you could be forgiven. But we must accept that forgiveness on his terms. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's how we're saved. Paul wrote in Romans 10, verses 24 and 25, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul couldn't deliver himself. I can't deliver myself. You can't deliver yourself. Only Jesus Christ can deliver us. It's the saving power of the gospel that changes lives, not our own desire to be good. Now the question is, are we going to be faithful to the Lord? Will we think ourselves good enough, or will we turn to him? Now remember what happened in Matthew 19, verses 16 and following. This young man came to Jesus, and evidently he was a pretty good guy, because one of the gospel accounts says that Jesus loved him. But he came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" You see, he was like so many other people in the world. They think, well, if I just do one really good thing, one really great thing, then I can get into heaven. And Jesus simply turned to him and said, "Well, you know what the commandments are, you know. Honor your father and mother, and honor the Sabbath, keep it holy, do not kill, do not steal." And then this young man said, "Yeah, but what do I lack? What more do I need than to do those things?" And Jesus looked right at him. I have no doubt. He looked right in his face and he said to this young man, "You sell everything that you have and you give it to the poor." You want to be perfect? You want to be good? You got to give up everything to do it. That's what Jesus did. Well, he couldn't do it. He walked away. We need Jesus Christ, folks. What we have will never be enough. We've got to have Jesus. Morality alone isn't going to cut it. What about evangelism? You know, Jesus wants us to share the gospel with others. Is that an issue of morality? No, it's not. It's an issue of teaching. It's an issue of doctrine. Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Well, what does that have to do with morality? Nothing. But must we do it? Absolutely. Because that's Jesus. You see, we cannot do the Lord's work with just morality alone. We've got to have more than just that. We've got to keep the commandments that God has given us. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5 and verse 3. We've got to become a living sacrifice, humbling ourselves before others and serving like Jesus did. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I suppose a person could be a good moral person, quote unquote, without being a, quote, living sacrifice. But God calls us to be a living sacrifice. It takes more than just morality. And we've got to do more than just moral things as Christians. And this is what the last point is about. Now look here in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 again so we can read the text. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. According to His own purpose and grace. Now think about that for a minute. God has His purposes. God has His plan. God has His will. And we need to get with the program. God's program. Not my program, not your program, not the elders' program per se, but God's program. And what does that mean? It means doing more than just being good people. Must we be good people? Sure. But we got to do more than that. We must participate in God's purposes. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 puts it like this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works. That's more than just morality. That's teaching the gospel. That's going on trips of evangelism. That's having fellowship with the local body. That's worshiping together. That's doing all kinds of things that don't have anything to do with morality. It includes morality, yes, but it's more than just morality. And we've got to get it through our minds that we're going to participate in God's plan by doing those good works that He prepared us to do. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The fellowship of Jesus Christ is no common fellowship. It is a high calling, a high standard of morality, a high standard of holiness, a high standard of participation in God's purposes. We got to make up our mind that we're going to participate in God's purposes. And what does that mean? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. First thing we've got to do is we've got to make this central to our life. Every single word of God is important. Every single word of God must inform our lives on how we're going to live. Not just the parts we like, but the parts that are difficult and hard to do as well. We've got to make the church a priority in our life. The priority, according to Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Are we making the church our priority? Are we studying the Word of God? Are we giving as we need to be giving? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, and on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Are we giving? Are we helping others? Are we evangelizing? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. We've got to participate in God's purposes. It's more than just morality. Morality, yes. That's important. It's fundamental. We've got to be moral people. That separates us from the world and from everybody else in this world. But it's got to be more than just that. It's got to be our faith in Jesus Christ and His ability to save us. His sacrificial death on the cross that took our place. And when we think about how we're going to conduct our life, the very first thing that should come to mind is that cross and what Jesus did there. And identifying with Him in every aspect of our lives. That's why we preach, to hear the Word of God and believe it, repent of sin, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Because that's where we identify with Jesus, with His death, burial, and resurrection. And we come forth up out of that watery grave to live a new life, a changed person. Someone who is now going to participate in God's purposes because He can through Jesus. Morality alone is not enough. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Will we do the Father's will? Not just be moral people, but be Christian people. If you need to come this morning to make a change, do so right now, while together we stand and while we sing.